Dear Father, thank you so much for this day. God, we praise you. Lord, you reign. No matter how we feel today, tired, excited, sick, healthy, happy, sad, Lord, you reign, and we can accept that. We accept that you're with us, that you're empowering us, and we're thankful for that. So I pray, Father, that you would just bless us today, bless this message. I pray you would stir up some students' hearts today about this new year to come, that they would be very excited about the things to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's the new year, right? And a new year is a time to always ponder the things that have been going on, right? A new year is a time to always look backwards and look forwards. It's a time to say, what went well in 2011? What went bad in 2011? What we're excited about in 2012? It's funny because just around the New Year's time, a lot of people on their Facebook pages or their Twitter will write things, usually in one or two camps. They'll write something like, man, 2011 was such a great year. I can't wait till 2012. It's going to be even better. Or people write this, good riddance, 2011, right? Like, that was the worst year of my life. I'm so glad that that year is over with, and I can't wait to move on to the new one. I frequently visit biking blogs and things like that and websites, and I was on one the other day, and since it's the new year, they had the most looked at, viewed at pictures of the entire year from their website. And I looked at them, and there was just a bunch of wonderful pictures, beautiful pictures, pictures of people who got to travel to other places and ride, and people who got new things this year, people who won the World Cup this year, just so many cool pictures of all their successes and wonderful things. But then as I was scrolling down, something caught my eye. It was the most epic fails of 2011. How many of you guys have ever heard the word fail before? I'm sure a lot of you, right? It's something that definitely came very popular in 2011, was to say this word fail. And when somebody would fail at something or mess something up, you would tell them, you did fail, right? When somebody would like run into something or fall off their bike or do something, it would be a fail. And so I was watching this video, and I just had to share a couple of the most epic fail moments of 2011 with you. That guy's fired, right? That's a fail. But you know what? In our spiritual life, we should always be evaluating things too. We should never just be like, oh, I don't know how the year went. We should take time and look back and say, was our year fruit or fail? You see, when it comes to a believer, the equivalent of success would be fruit. The Bible says that all of our good deeds, our devotion, our love for the Lord, the things we do unto God in His glory, they come about in what's called fruit. Just like if you had a fruit tree, you would obviously say it had a good year if it did what it was supposed to, which is bear fruit. And a Christian should do what we're supposed to, which is bear fruit, which is do good things unto the glory of God. But a fail in the Christian world or a fail in our lives would be not producing fruit. That would be the equivalent of a fail for us, is to have a year that was filled with no fruit at all. And so that, me asking you that question, I want you to think about your right now, seriously, in spiritual terms, how was your 2011? Was it a fruit or was it a failure? And you know what I've come to notice? I think sometimes we judge ourselves a little too generously. I think sometimes we judge ourselves off of maybe other people. And we say, well, I mean, that person over there, they don't even go to church. They don't even, they don't do anything. And I at least opened my Bible once a week and at least prayed once a week. And so I suppose it was fruitful. But is that really success? Is that really the fruit that you think that the Lord would want us to be bearing in our life? You know, it's kind of like when I remember one time in high school, I was taking I don't know if it was like a geometry test or something like that, and I just utterly failed. Total fail. And I remember I had to bring it home, and I showed it to my mom, and she was like, what is wrong with you? Like, how did you get this kind of a grade? And I was like, I know, but I didn't fail that bad, right? It was like, what kind of logic is that? I didn't fail this bad, because an F is an F is an F, right? Like whether you get a 60% or a 1%, you failed the class. So it doesn't really matter. It's a fail. That's what it is. And so I think that we need to start judging ourselves not off of others, not off of the standard of everybody else, because the fact of the matter is you're always going to find somebody who's worse off than you. I can find somebody in here who I'm clearly more spiritual than. And I'm sure there's somebody in here who's probably more spiritual than I am, who's excelled perhaps farther than I have in 2011. And so we can't judge it off of each other. We should always look to our example, the Lord Jesus Christ, because when we do that, we'll always want to strive to be more Christ-likeness, and we're always going to want to reach a little bit farther and become more like him. And so judging yourself off of who Jesus wants you to be this year or what he could have done in your life last year, I ask again the question, how was your 2011? And be real with yourself. Be very real with yourself. Well, I've got good news for you. No matter how great your year was, it can always be better. Or no matter how bad your year was, it can always be better. You see, whether you told me today, hey, AJ, I had like the greatest 2011. I saw God move. I grew in my faith. I got involved. I read a lot. I learned a lot. I feel like I really have been growing in righteousness. Or maybe today you say, you know what, AJ, I honestly was a fail. I should be on that video, Most Epic Fails of 2011, because that was my spiritual life last year. I really didn't do much. I was really caught up more in myself. Or maybe you had a lot of successes, but none of them were necessarily spiritual successes. Maybe you're like, oh, I had a great sports year, and I had a great dance year, and I was on the honor roll, I got good grades, I did all of these other things, but when it came to the things that really mattered, my spiritual life, my relationship with the Lord, those were kind of bad. The good news is that no matter how great your year was last year, the Bible says this at Ephesians 3:20, that God can do greater things than you could ever imagine, basically. That I don't care what God did last year. I don't care if you saw the face of God come down and heal your family of cancer or your parents get back together. 2012 can be way more incredible than even those things. And if you failed last year, I want you to know something else. That the Bible says that the mercies of God are new every single morning. And if the mercies of God are new every single morning, let me tell you something. They're clearly new every single year as well. Meaning that God is merciful and long-suffering. And if you could basically exhaust God throughout the entire day for what you've done, guess what? The next morning, God's refreshed and ready to deal with you again, basically. But the cool thing is that, think about in a year's time, think about how long-suffering God was with the Israelites for 40 years in the desert. And think about, no matter what you did last year, no matter how big of a failure your life may have been, God can do even greater things with you. And so today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to look at a brief passage of scripture, and then I'm going to give you guys all an opportunity to start off this year right. And I think one of the greatest ways to start off the year right is for you guys to be involved in Velocity. So would you open and look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "For bodily exercise profits a little bit, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come." I'll read verse 9 too. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance." Now, this letter to Timothy is written by Paul. Timothy was likely a convert in Ephesus. He's somebody that Paul left behind in Ephesus to watch over the church when Paul left on his probably second missionary journey. But Timothy's younger than Paul. And so a lot of people believe that maybe 1 Timothy was written almost towards the very end of Paul's life, at least towards the latter end of his life. Pretty much everybody believes that. And so I like this because it's almost a letter from an older person writing to a younger person about all the things that he would want them to know. You see, if you had to tell somebody who was younger than you all the things you learned in 2011 so that they could live in 2012, what would you write down? These are some of the things that Paul writes to Timothy. He says, these are the most important things. I love what he writes. He says, bodily exercise profits a little bit, but basically exercising yourself towards godliness, that's what we should be striving for. You know, for the who knows how many years in a row now, the number one New Year's resolution is once again to lose weight or to be fit. I saw that on the internet this week. And I think it's funny that that's always our goal, is to look better, to lose weight, to get fit. And Paul says here to Timothy, hey, Timothy, it's good for you to be in shape. You should watch your diet. You should obviously want to be healthy. That will profit you. But he says something that's even far greater than your physical health is your spiritual health. He's like, those are the things you should really be focusing on. Now, I read something sad. It said this, that 78% of people who make a New Year's resolution will fail pretty much within 1 month. Isn't that sad? Someone's like, I'm going to lose weight. And then a month later, they haven't done anything. And so the difference between the 78% who fail and the 22% who will make it is this. It's they make a plan to succeed. And in having a spirit-filled, fruit-filled 2012, we should take on the same idea. You see, we need to first and foremost make goals in our life. You guys need to ask yourself, God, what is it you want to do in my life in 2012? And you have to know that God's a spontaneous God. There's things you could never plan on that God's going to do this year in your life. But let me tell you, there's also plenty of things that you can plan on to do. And you can ask yourself, Lord, what are the things that I'm tempted in? Lord, what are the areas that I'm weak in? I want to be able to see growth in those areas. And the wonderful thing about setting goals is that it gives you something to mark yourself by month after month, year after year, right? Some of you guys can't even answer the question, how was 2011? Because honestly, you had no goals, and so you really can't say if you accomplished anything or you didn't accomplish anything. And so we have to have goals on what we're going to do. And then the way we're going to reach those goals, the way we're going to have a fruit-filled 2012 is by this. It's by devotion. It's by dedication. That's what separates the winners from the losers, the fruit from the failure. That's what's going to separate those people this year who are actually going to lose weight, right? Because anybody can make a goal. We can all stand up here and make goals. I can tell you today, I have a goal to learn how to fly an airplane this year. Oh, well, that's a noble goal. That sounds good. Well, have you taken any flight classes? Nah. Are you going to? Nah, probably not. Well, then how do you plan on achieving this goal? It seems like you're just making a goal for the sake of making a goal. Yeah, I guess that's true. And a lot of us do that. Lord, I want to do big things this year, Lord, and I want to start a Bible study, but I really have no plans on ever going through on any of those things. But when we're devoted, when we're dedicated, that will change our outcome. You see, the person who says, I want to lose weight, and then guess what? They show their dedication and devotion by getting up every morning and going to the gym. They're going to succeed. They're the ones who are going to watch their diet. And so devotion in our life must be the number one source of things to having a spirit-filled, fruit-filled 2012. We must have personal devotion to the Lord. A regular, routine, quiet time, devotional life with God is the most basic yet the most fundamental of all things. You see, God is not going to do huge things in your life until you yourself are personally changed. The Lord is not going to use you to change the entire world until your heart is changed. And any time that God has ever done an amazing work in throughout history, it's always started with an amazing work in the heart of an individual. God is always wanting the person to be more to be ready. He's always more concerned about the individual worker than performing the work. God can do all the work himself. He wants you to be right. And if you don't have a routine time every single day with meeting with God, with hearing with God, then let me ask you a question. What do you expect God to do in your life? What do you expect? Because you cannot give anything out to anybody unless you possess it yourself. You can't go out there and be the light of the world when you don't have the light in your heart. You can't go out there and be the salt when you don't have the salt in your heart. You can't go out there and preach the good news when you don't have the good news in your heart. You can't go out there and do anything unless you yourself possess it first. And so if you want to see families changed and you want to see schools changed and you want to see God do huge things in 2012, you have to start right here in your own heart, in your own body. And there's a couple of ways that we want to help you do that in Velocity this year. We believe that devotion is so important. If you guys don't know, for the last couple of months now, we've been doing Velocity Devos on YouTube. Now, we did those because we want you guys to be able to have a personal, quiet time every day where you meet with the Lord. And we want to assist you with that. And we think that's important. But lately, we've just realized that a lot of you guys don't have access to the internet. A lot of you guys don't have the ability to just get on the internet whenever you want. You don't necessarily get up at 6 a.m. and get on the internet. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And so a couple of our leaders who have been praying and working very hard for you guys have been trying to revamp Devos for you. And so I'm going to invite up Jameson and Gabe right now to come tell just a little bit about. Richie, will you turn the microphone on? I don't think this one's on. To tell you a little bit about Devos and what you can kind of, how it's all going to work, because we believe that this is the foundation of everything in the Christian life.
Hello. How is everybody today? We're doing Devos for you guys because we realize that not all of you really have access to the internet, and it's also very difficult to keep up with God like on a daily basis. So what we're doing is we're going through one book of the Bible, and just we talk a lot about it a little bit, and then there's a little bit of a scripture reference for you guys to read. And maybe it takes maybe, what, 10, 15 minutes to do it. We want you guys to just like prayerfully consider what you're reading, try and understand it, and just like ask God, hey, help me understand this. I really want to know you better. And your life can really change a lot just in that 10 minutes.
Okay. Also, I want to ask you guys, okay, how many of you forget to eat every day? Do you guys eat every single day, every meal mostly, and even snacks in between? Yes? Everybody, yes, no? Okay. Well, it's the same with reading your Bible. Your Bible is feeding you spiritually. It's something that you have to do every single day if you want to grow. Because, okay, let's think about it. When you don't eat, you usually get kind of grumpy. You get tired. You're weak. Same things happen if you don't read your Bible. If you don't read your Bible, you become a lot weaker. You're not, I don't know, you're not as open to what God has to say to you. And so we have these devos for you guys so you guys will be more open to hearing what God has for you guys. And it's so important in with life, in media, in everything. In our day-to-day lives, we're so bombarded with what the world's telling us, what's right and what's wrong. But we need to know everything from a different standard, from God's standard, how he wants us to view things. And so Romans 12:2 says that we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And our minds can be renewed by reading God's word, by knowing what his standards are for us. And so we're really excited for you guys, and we hope that you guys each pick one up in the back and that you really dedicate to doing that this year and just to learn and grow in God.
Thanks, guys. That's awesome. And the best part is that it's just super simple. You're gonna pray because you want to ask God to do something in your life. And clearly you just want to ask him that in prayer. Then you're going to read the scripture that they've given you. And then you're going to read the devotional that they've written for you. And then what you're going to do is you're going to have a lesson. So you're going to put a lesson in there. You're going to write, what's the spiritual principle in this? What's God saying here? And then you're going to apply it to your own life personally. Okay, now what does he want me to do about this spiritual principle? And that, you're going to see a tremendous growth in your life just because that alone. So that's something we're huge on. Another thing that we believe will change your devotional life is discipleship groups. You know, I love that when there's this story when Jesus is, there's two guys walking to this town called Emmaus. And there's two guys who they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And they're walking over to this place and they're looking at each other and they're having this discussion like, man, we really wished that Jesus was the Messiah, but now he's been killed. And we really thought he was going to restore Israel. And we thought he was the Savior. And it says that Jesus walks up to them and has a conversation with them and is like, hey guys, what are you talking about? I love that. I love the humor of the Lord. And it says they don't even recognize it's Jesus. Well, they obviously probably don't recognize it's Jesus because just a couple days before that, Jesus was murdered and very obviously beaten and bloody and bruised. And so to see someone normal walking right next to him, they obviously wouldn't think it was Jesus, right? But I love this. Jesus gives them a Bible study concerning all the things about himself, it says. And then it says this, then they invited him over to his house to stay and eat a meal. And we're huge on that. The way we do that at Velocity is discipleship groups, Element and Brethren. That is where we talk about the word, we get together, we fellowship, and we do the exact same thing that Jesus did right after his death, right after he rose again from the dead. I love that that's what Jesus focused his life on after he came back from the dead, right? It was the word and getting together with believers and talking about the word. So I'm going to bring up Richie real fast to just talk briefly about discipleship groups in case you haven't, if you've been thinking about it, but you just haven't done it. We're about to start our second semester.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Just like AJ said, discipleship groups are so important. They're so vital in our Christian walks. You know, we have our quiet times in the morning. We read, we do our devotionals, as Gabe and Jameson said, and that's great. But you want to go take your walk with Christ a step further, and you want to do that. And that's why we've done discipleship groups. That's why we have Brethren for the guys and Element for the girls. And so this semester, like even Shane said in announcements, we have that available to you right now. There's signups in the back. The girls are going through a book by Tim LaHaye. It's such a great book to help you understand fully what the Bible is. And so that should be exciting to you because not a lot of people know how to really study the Bible. You know, they just read the Bible. And that's good. You can read it. But you need to do more than that. You take it and you break it apart. What does this mean to me? What is he saying here? Who is he talking to? That's what you girls are going to be learning in this next semester. And you boys are going to be going through the life of Paul, which is amazing. Everything that Paul went through when he was Saul to his conversion to Paul, just being grabbed hold of Jesus and seeing him and having his scales lifted off his eyes. And you're going to see that transition from the beginning of his life all the way to the end. What he went through, his trials, his persecutions, all of that. And just how many churches he planted and how many lives he changed. So see these things, how important they are. Do them. I challenge you guys this semester. I want to see all you guys just, you know what, be like, hey, I want to sign up. I want to do this because it's really amazing and it's really, truly life-changing, especially for you guys being in middle school. It's life-changing. So do it. Do it. Be the ones that start it.
You know, a lot of you guys, a lot of the reason why some of you guys are failing a lot is because you don't have any support. And if you don't come to Velocity and you like kind of just sit by yourself and you don't have anybody that you're like, hey, dude, what's up? I really encourage you to come make some good godly friends. You're going to spend a couple of months with the same people, the same leader. You're going to get to know people very well so that you can come to church, be supported by one another, love on one another. It's super, super important. It is. Now, here's the thing. All of us can grow in devotion. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the Apostle Paul. You need to grow in devotion. We all can grow in devotion. That's the one thing that's great, is that discipleship groups and daily devos is something all of us can do no matter what stage we're in. But here's the deal. There's some of you guys who are doing a great job perhaps already at devotional life. Maybe you're already involved in discipleship groups, and that's a wonderful thing. Well, then the challenge I give to you is this. It's to persevere. You see, a lot of times when we see any growth in our life, we just tend to stop there. See, a lot of people who have a goal to lose 50 pounds, when they lose 10 pounds, they're like, this is pretty good. Maybe I should just take a seat now and just relax a little bit. I did lose some weight. I have done some things. Now, let me just stop there. But as the life of a believer, we shouldn't say, well, I bore some fruit and some fruit's come out of my life. Well, that seems good. We should want to take it to the next level. You see, when you're going to work out, when you first work out, 20 pounds can be really heavy. You got a curling bar, 20 pounds can be really heavy. But after a while, when you do it, guess what? 20 pounds seems kind of easy. It's like, oh, this isn't that bad anymore. I'll just keep lifting 20 because it's not that hard anymore. You know what the hard part is? Is to put two more 10-pound weights on the side, right? And double that bad boy. And, you know, that's what's going to make it harder for you. And I believe that some of you guys are ready to take it to that level. And I think one of the ministries in our repertoire, in Velocity, is going to be a great one for you to do just that. Some of you guys are doing a great job and just need a little bit more, a little challenge, a couple more things. And so I'm going to bring up Brandon right now to talk about Mountain Ministry a little bit farther and what they're going to be up to in 2012.
Hey, so good morning. Wake up. Mountain Ministry. I can't tell you. I've been doing it for a couple of years, and I took a trip recently and got, just like other men of the Bible, like Moses, Jesus, Joseph in Genesis, they all went out into the wilderness and God spoke amazing things to them. I've never been more on fire for Mountain Ministry than I have for this year, and God has really put it on my heart to completely revamp it. What he's shown me is that a lot of the times we need to be able to find our way in life. We need to be able to find where we're going. And he has set us out on a path, and he has a plan for our lives, and he just wants us to follow that. And so an image that came to mind was a compass. And like, what does a compass do? You know, you walk around with your map and you're like, well, I mean, that looks familiar. I don't know. But what a compass does is it sets you straight and it sets you north. And that's God's word. And it points to him always. And it says in Isaiah, like, this is Christ. And in the Old Testament, this is Christ. And everything points to him. And so what I want for this year in Mountain Ministry is I want you guys to be able to navigate through God's word and be able to look back on verses and be like, oh, look, this reminds me of this other verse in another book. And like, wow, God, you're so amazing to be able to just reveal this to my heart and show me how connected your word is. And so through Mountain Ministry, what we do is we go out and we do active things. We see God's creation and we love him through that. And we just praise him through that. And so what we do is, like, I don't know, maybe this month we're going to go do some kind of outreach, which would be really cool. I'm thinking we're going to go to Albuquerque Christian Children's Home and probably do some, like, work there for them. But what does that do? What does getting out in the wilderness do? Climbing mountains and doing all this stuff really doesn't, just hanging out and doing that doesn't do anything. But it's when we reflect on God and we look towards him and we say, God, look at this huge mountain that you've built, and I'm not even a fraction of that mass. And God, look at, I can climb this mountain. I can climb all of La Luz, all 8 miles. And, I mean, I didn't even know my little legs could do that. But you've given me the strength to, because now I can look over this city and I can see, look, I can see where I live. I can see my house and I want to be a change in there. Look, I can see my school. I want to be a change to all my friends. Look, all of Albuquerque, like, I don't want you to look down on me because of my youth. I want you to see me as Christ. And so what I want you guys to do in Mountain Ministry is discover Christ through his word and through his creation. I want you to be challenged, whether that means physically, mentally, spiritually. If you have a good devotional life, well, like, why don't you spread it? I'm down completely with you guys doing a devotion and waking up early and planning out what you're going to say that you would preach in front of your peers for the time that we hang out and we talk about Christ. Whether it be witnessing to people on trails or going out and seeing these kids and that are broken and being like, look at this, like, look at this stream. It keeps flowing because God just rains on this land and we're in a desert, and that's what a blessing. And so for Mountain Ministry, I just want to challenge you guys and I really want I want you to reflect Christ ultimately. And so the 3 points this year are: discover God's word through His character and His creation. Be challenged physically, mentally, spiritually, and reflect. Reflect on the things that you've seen. Reflect on the things that you've learned in His word, and ultimately reflect Christ. So come out and join us as we do great things this year. And here's AJ.
Amen. So cool. You know, there's a reason why Jesus would go up on a mountain and retreat like several times in the scriptures. And it's so incredible. It's just like clarifying to be in creation, to realize that I'm this big, but that's okay because He's just so ginormous and that He can call down mountains and He can do whatever He wants. And so obviously He can take care of my life. But the thing I told you before is God's always more worried about the worker than He is the work. And so you always have to get right first yourself. And that's why we've given you several opportunities to grow in devotion. But after you grow in that, then that's when God can seriously bring some serious fruit in your life. Because then I believe you can, a lot of you can move on to what's called service, which is a wonderful thing. And in Velocity, we have two places, one new one and one old one that's been revamped for you guys to be able to get plugged in. You know, I love this first ministry that I'm going to introduce, Shane and I-58, because it's about the poor. And if you know something about God, and it's something you read through the entire Bible, is God loves the poor. And so there's this one point where even Paul gets called to be an apostle, and he goes up to Jerusalem to tell the rest of the apostles that he's like an apostle now too. And they're like, yeah, okay, we see it. Okay, we acknowledge that God's life is upon you. And so you can go preach to the Gentiles, but we want to tell you this. Don't forget to watch out for the poor. And Paul's like, I feel the exact same way. That was like their one thing that they wanted to make sure that he did, was continuously watch out for the poor. And so for some of you in here today, I believe that you guys are on solid ground. You're awesome and you're growing with God and you're involved and you want to take it to a seriously spiritual stretching, muscle stretching next level. I think that these next two ministries will do that. So I'm going to bring up Shane to talk about a brand new thing, I-58, that we've gotten a lot of great response about last night already.
Hey guys, so I'm really, really super excited to like tell you guys about this new ministry, I-58. Like AJ was saying, we got several kids last night super interested, super excited, stoked on this new idea. And this new idea, like AJ was saying, it's not something new that, you know, I've come up with. It's something that God has shown to me through Scripture. And I-58, if a lot of you guys kind of know what that stands for already. If not, it stands for Isaiah 58. I encourage you guys all to read that the moment you get out of church when you head home. It's only 14 verses, so it's really, really short. It shouldn't take you long at all to read. But over the course of it, it all talks about fasting. And what fasting is putting aside something for a certain amount of time. And what we'll be doing is we'll be putting aside all types of beverages other than water for, say, the course of a month. And over that entire month, all that money that we normally spend on drinks, we're going to save up. Because, I mean, let's be honest in here. How many of you guys have probably bought a soda or any type of drink just within the past week? I mean, I know I've bought several. And if you haven't, how many of you ever pick up money on the side of the street? I was just thinking the other day. Because my goal was, you know, a soda a week, that's like $1.50. If, say, 25% of Velocity does that, which is only 100 kids, 25% doesn't sound like much at all. But if each of you guys did that for a week for the course of a month, that comes out to be about $600. And I was thinking, if you guys can't afford $6 a month, what if you picked up a quarter off the side of the road for a day? And I know for a fact that that's possible because I've done that before. You can walk out of here, you can go to school, and you'll find a quarter on the parking lot floor. If you found a quarter for the course of a day, that's $7 over the course of a month. That's more than enough. And what we'll be doing with this money is we'll be saving it up. At the end of the month, we'll go out, we'll buy groceries, we'll buy Bibles, we'll buy water bottles, and we'll go give this to other people who are in need and witness to them, share the good news. I tend to read Isaiah 58 almost every day, because of this ministry. And each time he reveals something new to me. And so last night I was reading, and it says in Isaiah 58:10, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and the darkness shall be noon as day. And I just want you guys to think about that, that this ministry is not just about us. It's to challenge you spiritually and physically, but it's also to get out there and challenge others. If we shine our light, then the darkness will be noon as day. So I'd be really, really excited if you guys at least inquired of this. If you guys don't sign up, if you guys don't make a commitment, at least talk to me. Figure out what fasting is. See what you can do to take that walk with God a step further. So if you guys could just pray about that for a while.
Super cool. The last ministry is one that you guys have probably heard of for a while, but it's kind of gotten a new revamp and a facelift because of God's kind of changing the vision of it. And it's something that's been a staple here at Velocity for so long, and I think it's just one of the greatest things ever, and I think that some of you guys need to get involved. I think a lot of you guys have been sitting in here who are ready to take the next step, but for some reason you just have been saying no to that voice and saying no, or finding an excuse not to sign up for one of these ministries. But I'm going to bring up Andrew to talk about what was formerly 421, now called Doula. Us. You can clap for him.
Can you guys give like a fist bump or something for Jesus? Yes, I'm not feeling too well either. I got a stuffy nose, but I'm here to tell you guys about the ministry. So if you guys have ever heard of 421, that's the ministry when, you know, at the beginning of service, they're like, hey, raise your hands if you don't have any Bibles and bulletins, and somebody's going to come and give them to you. And you're like, yeah, that guy's pretty cool. He always gives me my bulletin and stuff. What's this ministry all about? Well, I'm going to tell you. See, we've kind of refocused what our vision is for this ministry, and what the word means, doulos, it's a Greek word for slave. And you're like, well, what does that mean? Why did you name your ministry slave? The thing is the word for slave in Scripture is something repeated several times, and it's something that means that we're indebted to Christ, that we're completely sold out to Christ. Because it talks about in Romans 6 how we're a slave to our sin. And Christ came and through his sacrifice and through his death on the cross, he freed us from our sin, and he then made us slave to righteousness and slave to him. Because you can't just not be a slave. You're either going to be a slave to your sin or you can be a slave to Christ. And the thing is in our lives, when we realize that we've committed our lives to Jesus, we automatically become slaves to Christ. And what does a slave do? A slave is active. A slave is always moving. That's one thing a slave doesn't do, is a slave doesn't sit around. A slave doesn't just chill. A slave doesn't just play Xbox all day. It's not what a slave does. A slave is always moving. A slave is active. So what we're here is we're here to serve. We're here to serve in whatever capacity needed. We're going to go and we're going to be praying for people constantly. We meet every service before service and we pray for you guys. We pray for service. We pray for each other. We pray for our prayer requests. We're always constantly lifting each other up. We're growing. We're in our word. We constantly have accountability. We have small group Bible studies, and we meet every now and then, and we just want to continue growing, but we also serve every single month. You know, we may do like a fellowship kind of thing every now and then, but mainly we're just going to be serving. We're going to be serving in whatever capacity, you know, that the Lord calls us to serve, and we just have a lot of fun. We fellowship together. We really grow together, and it's definitely a ministry that you need to be ready for. It's not something you just step into because you just are like, oh, let me go check it out. Because this is a ministry that requires dedication, and this is a ministry that's gonna test you, and it's gonna grow you, and you're gonna come out a lot more mature in the Lord and a lot more just spiritually grown by the time you leave the ministry. I guarantee it, because everybody is, including myself. And so really pray about the ministry. And if you guys want to know where it's from in Scripture, it's when Jesus washes his disciples' feet. This is one of the things that really struck me to change the name of the ministry and some of our leaders as well. Jesus washes his disciples' feet right after Passover, and he tells his disciples something. It's really cool. He says, if I, being the master, much greater than you, washes your feet, you need to go and wash each other's feet, being the servant, being the slave, doulos. And that's what we are. And it's cool because that's what we are. We're just slaves. We're not anything better than that. And that's what we're all about. And in our motto is kind of, Jesus is Lord, and we're his slaves.
I love that, because we have such a wide variety of things for you guys to get involved in, no matter where you're at in your spiritual life right now. And that just, it blows me away. But I want to remind you something. The Lord said this, to whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. And I want you guys to know, as being part of this ministry, you'll all be required of much because you were all given much. And I don't care if you've never even taken part in any of the ministries in Velocity, you were given the opportunity to, thus you are responsible for them. The Bible says that someday we will stand in front of the Lord and give an account for our lives. And I believe one of the things God will ask you is how well we did with the things that he were given over to us. And these ministries have been given over to you to do what you wish, to take part in them. You know, I told you in the beginning that I watched that video about the most epic fails of 2011. It was funny. That same day, I happened to be home, and I'm watching the Today Show in the morning, and another video came on, and that was just the news in review for 2011. This is just like the first minute of it. But as you watch it, I just want you to just think about the things that keep reoccurring and reoccurring, and we'll close and pray. The reason I show you guys that is because, I mean, that was the Today Show 2011 news in review for the first minute. It's like a 12-minute clip. That's our world. That's the world we live in. And so we got to preoccupy ourselves with doing the things that God wants us to do. Did he not say that when wars and rumors of wars and famine, and when you hear about these things, boy, get ready because my coming is right around the corner. And so look what happened last year. And so I want you guys to be involved so that when the Lord comes, you'll be caught doing the things that he would want you to be doing. Open up to John 9 really fast and we'll close. Go to John 9 verse 4. We'll end here. This is the words of Jesus. Listen what he says. He says, I must work the works of him who has sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus says, while I'm in the world, I got to do what God wants me to do because the day is coming when nobody will be able to do anything. And let me tell you something. Heaven doesn't need you guys to sign up for Mountain Ministry, Doulos, any of those things. Heaven doesn't need you to preach great sermons. Heaven doesn't need you to feed the poor. It won't even matter there anymore. It needs to happen here. And so like Jesus says, while I'm in the world, I must do the works of God while it's still day because night is coming. And let me tell you something, you guys. You're the same thing. If you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, you're the light of the world, right? He said, I'm the light of the world. But because I'm the light of the world, now you're the light of the world. And so you must work the works of God while it's still day, because whether by rapture of the church, Jesus coming back, or whether by death, night is coming for all of us. And guess what? When nighttime comes, there's no more time to do anything. And so I'm going to tell you guys something. I had about 35 people last night sign up for a ministry last night. 35 of your student peers got up and said, I want to work the works of God while it's still day. And they got out of their comfort zone and they went and did this. And so we have about 3 minutes left in service, and we're going to keep you guys in here for the next 3 minutes because we believe that God's calling some of you guys to sign up for a ministry, maybe multiple ministries, maybe all of the ministries. I don't know, but wherever you're at today, I know that whether you need to just get on that firm foundation or where you're ready to go out there and change the world now, that God's got something for you to do, and he's calling you to be faithful to these things you've been given. So I'm going to pray, and then after, I know that a lot of you are going to go over there and get involved for the first time finally. And by getting involved, it means putting your name and your number on there, and then we're going to call you and give you more information, and we can talk to your parents. If you're like, well, I need to check with my mom, we'll call. We'll help you guys out with all that, okay? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for these amazing ministries you've given us in Velocity. God, we must work the works while we're still here. We believe what you said. God, you are the light of the world. We're just your reflection. And so let us, God, be the light of the world as well. Let us go out there. And in these ministries, we believe we can be the light and the salt of this earth. And so, God, I pray right now that you would empower these students in the next couple of minutes to go up to the ministry that you're calling them to be involved in, the one that they were most interested in, the one you tugged on their heart with, and that, Father, they would make 2012 not a failure, but they would make it full of fruit. And should you not come back, Lord, and as we wait upon you, then when we look back at 2012, we will be thankful for the fruit you've given us, and we will look forward to even more in 2013. So we love you, God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go for it, you guys. I believe some of you guys are going to do it, so go sign up for what you need to. God bless.